Beloved, I like to share the synchronicity from last satsang when you read Darshan's letter about Krishnamurti. I had read the day before an excerpt from Ramana when somebody asked him about Krishnamurti's statement on choiceless awareness. So I want to share it with you. Because, of course, your answer and Ramana's are totally in tune. When there is one, is bound to be in tune. It's only problem when there is two. That's the amazing thing also. When you are in tune with the Guru, you are in tune. If you are in tune with your ego, then you are in conflict. A young man from Colombo asked Bhagwan Ramana, Jai Krishnamurti teaches the method of effortless and choiceless awareness, as distinct from that of deliberate concentration. Would Bhagwan be pleased to explain how best to practice meditation and what form the object of meditation should take? Ramana said, effortless and choiceless awareness is our real nature. If we can attain it or be in that state, it is very good. But one cannot reach it without effort, the effort of deliberate meditation. All the age-long vasanas carry the mind outward and turn it to external objects. All such thoughts have to be given up and the mind turned inward. For that, effort is necessary for most people. Of course, everybody, every book says, be quiet and still, but it's not easy. That is why all this effort is necessary. Even if we find one who has achieved the silence or supreme state, you may take it and understand that the necessary effort has already been finished in previous lives, so that effortless and choicelessless awareness is reached only after deliberate meditation. This meditation can take any form which appeals to you best. See what helps you to keep away all other thoughts and adopt that method for your meditation. Then Bhagwan quoted a saint. Bliss will follow if you are still. But however much you may tell your mind about the truth, the mind will not keep quiet. It is the mind that won't keep quiet. It is the mind which tells the mind itself, be quiet and you will attain bliss. Though all the scriptures have said it, though we hear it every day from the enlightened ones, and even though our guru will say it, we are never quiet, but stray into the world of Maya and sense objects. That is why conscious, deliberate effort is required to attain that silent state of the being. And the easiest way, all the master says, to find your quiet state, your natural state, is to be with the silent ones, is to be in satsang. Otherwise, your mind will take easily over again. You forget what is your true nature, and you get entangled in all the dramas, your personal stories, your worries, your doubt, and you start compromising. You are not direct anymore. So don't get fooled that it's easy. Anything can stop your freedom. Then again, you compromise. You compromise yourself. You don't stand up. Even if you have seen the truth, you have to practice. This world is to practice that you are strong enough to stand up for your own insights. Because your heart, your spirit is longing for freedom, is longing for adventure, is longing to be spontaneous, is longing to stand up for yourself, to be real. Then when you do that, you feel, of course, you feel more freedom. But also it's scary because of the old, because of security, because of comfort, because maybe of money, of how people look at you, or how they judge you. All these things is just tests. But if you have first felt something beyond that, beyond the mind of the divine, of truth, of love, then it gives you the courage because you know this is the right thing to do. Then you will stop compromising. Then you will be, like Jesus says, strong in spirit. And you will be tested. Everybody will be tested in his or her way. If you are ready to stand up for the truth. And when you first have tasted it, it will be more difficult to go back because you know inside. What is better than to be free, no? That is what you trust the master, you become free. So you see, no, Ram just was reading this thing, but Ramana. It's exactly all the truth. I have big support from all the enlightened ones about this. Even Krishnamurti, all his statements are true, but it's true from the state of enlightenment. If you accept yourself as you are consciousness, you are free. You are happy, you are not the body, you don't have any problem, nothing is holding you. But not intellectual, but then you don't do any compromise. You have no fear. Your mind is never bothering you. Then it's fine. You don't need any meditation, any guru, any sadhana, nothing, any technique. But that is very few, and like Ramana says, very, very few, very few. Only a Krishnamurti, a Osho, a Ramana comes in, they don't need that. This is how it is. The guru takes your doubt away and show you this is the truth. It have to show you because you don't believe it. You don't believe the truth, you don't believe in love, you don't believe in freedom, you don't believe in yourself. All this he has to show so you get more and more trust. You see it with your own eyes, you understand it. This is the synchronicity. Then the Ramana comes and supports me then. Very good. They all support the truth. Beloved Swa, I do not really want to go away or have any break from the retreat. I feel I need the whole retreat to recover and to come back to my senses. Staying away from you and the Sangha, I have seen what I have gained by losing it. Sometimes, China, you have to see what you have by losing it. That is how humans are. Because when you are in it, maybe you take it for granted. But when you lose it, then you see it. Then you see the difference. So that is good. I feel I need a whole retreat to recover and come back to my senses. Definitely. Why not make the whole life into recovery and retreat? As long as you are split, you will always be in a dilemma. As long as you are not one, the outer and the inner has to come into balance. And that you can only do if you're strong enough to be truthful, to show who you really are and stand up for it. That this is who I am. You don't do any compromise, you don't do any lying, you don't play any games. You stand up for it. Then you will fall into silent, it's silent harmony. Because no, you are just you. You're not playing any games. You are not here to please anybody or fulfill anybody's expectations or anybody's demands of who or what you should be. As long as you play those games, you will always be a slave. You can never find peace because you compromise your spirit, your truth. And maybe trying just to please somebody else. And remember, anybody who demands anything or expects anything from you is not your friend. But people are so used to it. Even in their marriage, they go on like that. You have to do like this, you have to do like that. If not, you don't love me. Or if not, I will divorce you. Threatening. Love never threatens. Staying away from you and the Sangha, I have seen what I have gained by losing it. Without you, life becomes very hard. I feel I need you and the Sangha to recover. On my own, I feel lost. Good. See things as they are, China. See things as you are and come back more total, more grateful for what you have. You are welcome, no problem. Don't be hard on yourself. And I'm not saying you can be with yourself because you are yourself wherever you are. But up to a moment when it's totally integrated, take all the support and help you can get to become stabilized, to accepting your own freedom. Otherwise, you get influenced so easy by your environment, and that's what you have felt again. Studying or working or whatever you're doing, you get so easily influenced. Because people are not interested in truth, they're interested in all the thousand million other things. Who is talking about truth? Who is talking about becoming real? Who is talking about love, of silence, of meditation? And you can't even talk about it because it's more like an energy, a fragrance. So if you find some place that is nourishing that, and if that is what you are interested, then be happy and stay. If you haven't realized, then go away. And then when you go away, then maybe you realize, no, you have lost it. No, you see what you have gained. Buddha says, live in joy, in love, even among those who hate. Live in joy, live in peace, even among the troubled ones. But it's very difficult. Live in joy, live in peace, even among those who are confused, troubled, who judge you, who hate you. Yes, it is possible, but it's very difficult. How much easier it is to live in peace, in joy, with those who love you? Meditate on it. Beloved Swaha, to be a nobody, what you shared about selfless service today really touched me. It has been in my mind for years, and I have tried serving in different ways, but selfless it was not, because I had so many ideas about it. What, when, where? It was all from my mind, not knowing what it really is. Thinking I had to be good, do good, that I had to learn more, so I could give more. At one point I trained to be a yoga teacher, having thought back and forth about what could be my dharma. I pushed myself hard, and I had this pretzel mindset. Now I truly feel that bhakti is my way. Surrender, love, and singing and dancing are for me the most natural and beautiful ways of celebrating the divine. Yet there is this yogi bastard inside. I just want that bastard to let go of the control. Don't worry, that bastard don't know what to do anymore now. I was so happy when you talked about Nanak and singing today. It is like I have been waiting for you to say that singing is a valid way of celebrating God. I have said that many times. Everything is a valid way of celebrating God. Just celebrate. Who cares what you celebrate? Just celebrate. If you need any excuse, I don't need any excuse, I celebrate. I just celebrate, because but if you can't just celebrate, then celebrate singing, dancing, music, art, any bit, anything. Painting. Even if it is a blissful experience for me, I was afraid it was inappropriate or low. Yes, this is how it is, the old spiritual mind. And that's how it has been for centuries. Very strict. They were not allowed to dance. No singing, no dancing, no fun, no celebration. They have stopped almost anywhere, any way to reach God. How is it possible? It's impossible. In the East, they have been much more flexible. In the Hindu religions, they have all the different. They have the silence, the strictness, they have the celebration. They had the craziness. They had everything. Because they know it's different types of human beings. But it's very deep imprinted in the mind, in the habit of the humans. You can't do this and you can't do that. And you have to eat a specific way and walk in a specific way and do this in a specific way. All these things, like that has anything to do with spirituality. It's very difficult. Because, like you say, your ideas, you have an idea of how it is. And if you come to a real guru, the first thing he has to do is to crush, destroy all your ideas. Absolutely all your ideas has to go. Otherwise, you have no chance to listen to the guru. It's impossible. Because you have so much unnecessary things that you are carrying. And it has to go. Because that's what makes you sad. That's what makes you heavy. That's what makes you sad, that you can't celebrate. Because you have all these ideas that is holding you back. And you can remove it in a physical way, but it happens some magic by becoming in tune with the guru. Then this thing starts evaporating. Then new things start flowering. It's just the organic process. I have to first break all the old before the new can come. But I feel that is the most true way that I can serve. It is like a sacred marriage. And sometimes I wake up in the night, dancing in bliss. I just wish to give more space to this and to let go of all the ideas. Don't only wish, do it. Why don't you become a Mira, a Daya, a Sahaju, a Lala? It's been so many mystics. I read about them then, and you enjoy the poetry. Who is dancing for the beloved? Who just wants to serve? Who just wants to be a devotee? A Mira who is leaving the palace. She came from a royal family. But when you look at yourself, it's so hard. It's so hard because you still want the comfort. You are not sure. You have to be crazy. The old has to go. And then the mirror is happy. But the whole society is judging her, saying that she's mad. That is how it always has been. But she's free. And then they sing songs for centuries of her beauty, of her truth, of her devotion. But this isn't everybody. And it's happening here. I just wish to give more and more space to this and let go of these old ideas. I have had glimpses of lives as a Thai monk, Indian sadhu, Tibetan nun. In this life, I traveled to those countries. I watched the nuns, sadhus, and monks. I was so attracted to it, believed it was the highest. Yes, because you're coming from a rich society, you're coming from the rich corner of the world, and then you go there and you attract it. This is the opposite. A poor beggar in India, a sadhu, a fakir, a nun, a monk who has nothing. That is how the mind is. You're going from one opposite to the other. But you don't find the freedom in opposite. You find freedom of going beyond all opposites. And to go beyond all opposites, all old has to go. Your mind has to go, and you will think you will go crazy. But you will feel free. You will feel happy. The old way of spirituality is like you were denying life. And that has nothing to do. You should embrace life. Learn from life. That's why you are alive. You are life. You should live. Not hide from life. Then when you have understood and lived and felt life in its ups and downs, then you are ready to go deeper. There is no way to spirituality because it's you. There is no recipe, there is no path, it's the pathless path. And how it happens that you come into it is a mystery, is a miracle. But somebody who is not living it, they cannot show it to you. That is the mystery of coming to somebody who is living the mystery. Then just by trusting and falling in tune with him or her, you will become in tune. And doubt will disappear. Otherwise you can practice forever. Doesn't have to be a nun or a monk. Thank God I found you. To be a nobody, a taste of freedom. To be a nobody is the ultimate freedom. Because everybody wants to be somebody. Why be somebody? Why not just be yourself? No, that is more difficult because you don't know who you are. So it's better to be some idea of who you are or some idea that you have. Your whole story, that is your whole story. Why drop the whole thing, be nobody? That is the ultimate freedom. But can you live like a nobody? That is regaining your innocence. That is being like a little child again. Just spontaneous. What I call the natural man, the natural woman. It's just being free. You have no idea. To be a nobody, it tastes of freedom. It is freedom. And be very happy, Sadhana, that it tastes like freedom. Because it is. Ordinary people taste all kinds of nonsense and they say it tastes good. And they get fooled. Who is tasting the taste of freedom? I could feel fear and sorrow, but that was only because I have spent all my time trying to be somebody and having deep beliefs that I cannot live without that struggle. Yes, everybody has spent this time. But don't look at the past. Every seeker will come to that point. You feel sad, you feel sorry, you feel like you have wasted so much time. But that is all the past. No, you see. You are regaining your clear sight. Be happy. The only thing now, don't go back, because there's still a chance you will go back. Because the past is easy. And it will be many, many challenges on the path. And everybody wants sooner or later to give up and go back and relax. And then maybe they realize, this is worse. I long for that. Now only I see what I got. Many people want to retire again because it's too hard. It's too crazy. Behave. But when I go deeper, I feel so relieved and free. That is the way. Go deeper. I felt I don't have to try anymore with any jobs, schools, courses, travels. I just need to be reminded what I truly want and help to clear away the old. Then you are at the right place. That's all what I'm reminding you. What you really want and help to clear away the old, the fog, the darkness. That's what the Guru is there, to take away the fog, the old, the darkness, and give you a clear sight, so you can see yourself as it is. Then he will mirror the truth. And how much more beautiful to mirror the truth than to mirror the lies, the projections. That is what satsang is. That is what being with the Guru is. For those who want to wake up, to regain their freedom, their true self. I am starting new now, Babaji. Yes. And what a nice start. I have moved here and I wish to be more involved. I am saying goodbye to the old struggles of toxic environments, jobs, relations, ideas. This is the perfect place to heal and get more steady. I don't have a car, a house, good money or a job, which I probably have to look into at one point. But I feel that the most important is that I'm here and that I go beyond my fear of losing control and not having or being enough. Yes. That is the most important. And the miracle of miracle is when you let go of your control and trying to control the whole universe and everything, when you fall apart, then something else can show you an easier way. As long as you want to control, existence holds back. Because now you are trusting more, you think you need this more, the safety, the money, the control, you need that more. Your dreams, your ideas, your projections. Then existence will hold back then. But if you have courage to all that go, do you think your parents won't take care of you when you are hungry? Huh? And you are a child of the universe. You are here. How can you not be provided? Yeah, it's impossible. But you have to find out. And when you realize that, then you are home everywhere. My heart spoke very clear to me, so I just had to come and stay here. Thank you. Things are so good. Everything is a miracle. And I'm blessed and endlessly grateful to be here in this beautiful valley, surrounded by nature and your divine presence. Thank you so much at your feet, Sadhana. That's great. You are nobody, you are just consciousness, you are just bliss. That is your true nature. If you start functioning more from that, then what? Don't you think existence will take care of you? It even takes care of you when you are just suffering and worry. But that is more on the surface. You are just the name and the form and the body. That is suffering. If you are only identified with that, that means you haven't realized your divine self. Then everything is a struggle. The more you realize your divine nature, this name and form and body is not so important. Then you are connected more to your true freedom. In that who is who, that's where you are a nobody. That's what Buddha called the ultimate, is emptiness, sunyata. Live as a nobody. And that's the miracle also, because if you can do that, then everything becomes a blessing. Because you are a nobody and so much is given to you. How is it possible? You are and you are not. How is it possible? Then you will always be grateful of the mystery of life. No, you have known, you're young, but you went to see all the spiritual things in India and the sadhus and the gurus and all this. When you are ready, you will find. If you are false, you will find the false. If you are more real, you find the real. Then you can never forget. And if you find somebody that you feel something is happening, you feel your silence, you feel your freedom, you feel your awakening, then nobody is more lucky. That even Buddha says, the luckiest human being is the one who has found the master, because he can free you. Then you don't look for anything else then. In fact, you stop all looking. And the more happy you will be to be here. Because the true discipline will come from your inner. It's not against life. You can live, you can be happy and still have the meditation, the silence. And of course, when the heart is touched, when your soul is ignited, then devotion, surrender, the path of love, it will come very clear. And why not dance instead of walking? They say always being the path of meditation and the path of love, no, the path of silence and the path of devotion. They both come to the same thing, and in reality, as I see it, they are not separated, because it's like a coin. If one face is up, you can't say that the other is not there. You just see one side. But if you turn it, then the other side is there. And then the other side is hidden. But maybe one is closer to your nature, to your heart, to your soul. But the path of love is more juicy, more together in your aloneness. It's embracing, is the positive. The path of meditation is more via negative, not this, not that, neti, neti. Going deeper, being centered. But just in your mind is it opposite, because the mind is split. So for a Sufi or a devotee, when he dances or when he whirls, he's totally centered. On the outside it's just movement, but on the inside he's totally centered. And that is the way. They go together. If you go to the top of the mountain and one side is totally dry and full of thorns and bushes and you have a hard time, and you said the path is so hard and I was totally alone and the sun was boiling all the time, and you come on the top and then you meet somebody else and I said, but I went down on the other side and there it was a nice, I followed the river the whole way and took bath and relaxed. And then there was also papaya tree there, banana. But who cares? No, we are on the top. It's like that. There was a mystic called Daya. He was also with her master, who was called Charandas, and another famous mystic who was with her also called Sahaju. She was also a disciple of this Charandas, and they both, these two women, Daya and Sahaju, became famous also and had their disciples. She says, they cry while they sing and they laugh. This is very paradoxical, says Daya. Drunk with the nectar of the divine, their state of knowing is beyond any thought, vast. The riches of the three worlds are but worthless for the sadhu, says Daya. But remember, the sadhu in the words of Daya That is an enlightened being. Ramana Maharshi also talks about the sadhu, and he used the word sadhu just like for a self-realized person. Because a sadhu, in the words of a Daya or a Ramana, that is somebody who lives in his original state, an innocent man, a pure man. That is the meaning of the word sadhu, one who is natural. And if you are natural, then you are pure. You are living innocent like a child. He puts his feet in one spot, but they land somewhere else. His body is ecstatic with delight. The more he drowns in the beauty of godliness, the more his love grows, says Daya. He laughs, he sings, he cries, he rises and falls again and again. He is ever restless. Once he has tasted the nectar of the divine, he can endure all pain of separation. The riches of the tree world are worthless for the true sadhu. When you have found something higher, the lower disappears by itself. That is the way I see it. That is my way. Don't fight with the lower energy. Just rise. And then the lower disappears by themselves. It depends where your consciousness is, where you are in your being. You can come with so many problems, and then after a while you stay here, you get in tune, you come back to yourself. Suddenly, all the problems disappear because you have clarity. It's a different side, it's a deeper side of your being that starts functioning that normally you're not in touch with. Then you remember the riches of the three worlds are but worthless for an innocent human being, because you have found so many riches. No riches can buy you the health of going for a walk in the pristine forest or taking a dip in the river. This is something priceless. But otherwise, the whole world is just the money. The riches of the three worlds are but worthless for a sadhu. He puts his feet in one spot, but they land somewhere else. They say that he is not in control. It's not the ego that is in the control anymore. It's something else. It doesn't matter if you go here or there. I enjoy. Maybe I even think I go there, but my feet goes there, so who cares? It's like that. His body is ecstatic with delight. The more he drowns in the beauty of godliness, the more his love grows. The more he gets drowned, the more he gets into it, the more he lets go, the more he surrender, the more his love grows, the more he flowers. This is how it is. The more tight you are, the more difficult. Almost impossible for anything to go. More open, the more can get in. Totally open, you can get totally flushed out. He laughs, he sings, he cries, he rises and falls again and again. He's a paradox. He can laugh, he can sing, he can cry. Everything is mixed up. Because he's spontaneous. He doesn't hold back, it's a total let go. Whatever is happening, he goes with it. And it also can mean he laughs because he is so full of bliss. He sees this tremendous opportunity you have as a human being, and he's living it. But he also cries because he sees how human beings are living, how they are suffering in delusion, in Maya. So the mystic, he sees both. He sees what the joy it is, and he also sees how people are suffering, unnecessary. Once he has tasted the nectar of the divine, he can endure all pain of separation. He can endure it because he knows. And no, there is no way back. That is another sign. If you really have tasted it, is no way back. It's impossible. It means you have tasted your own source, your essence, your heart, your truth. You have felt it, you have lived like that. It's impossible to go back. Up to that point is the possibility people go back. They get influenced by the outside forces. They get sucked in to society, to doubt, to mind, to problems. They start compromising the truth. But if they really know, then nothing is worth it. Then you become strong in spirit, unshakable. Because you know. And what you have is impossible to get in this world. So what can anybody tempt you with? How can anybody corrupt you? It's impossible. It's just the sign, you have tasted it. That gives you the courage to stand up for anything. That is the true sadhu. Flame of anguish of separation is born in my heart. Come, O divine, come, my beloved. Come, enchanter of hearts. Come, my beloved, O Krishna, the simple one. I long to see you, to be with you, to serve you. I am yours. This is what the devotee says. I am here only for that. I miss you. I'm available. But you also get tremendous patience, because it's the only thing you can be available for. You are ready. That out of that comes the totality. My hands are so tired of shooing crows away. My eyes are looking expectantly at the path. Of shooing the crows away. What does the crow stand for? It stands for all your mind. The crows is just bark, 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 just like your mind. And she said she's so tired of getting rid of these crows. All these thoughts, again and again, you have to get them away. Just like the crows, they're coming all the time. You're whoosh, whoosh, go, go, go. They come back. Don't give up. Sooner or later, they will learn. Don't let the crows take over. Don't let your mind take over. And one day, they will go somewhere else. My heart has fallen into the ocean of love. When your heart has fallen into the ocean of love, you are gone. The state of the sadhus immersed in love is indescribable. They cry while they sing and they laugh. This is very paradoxical. Normally people are either singing or they are laughing or they are crying. But these people, they do everything. It's very paradoxical. This is how it is anything can happen. It's just so much life. So this is the path of love. It's just the opposite. Here, everything is just totally wild. They laugh and sing and cry, and they are drunk with the nectar of the divine. There is the other part where you're totally centered. But I don't see any reason, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm showing you both. Why not mix it? One day you feel like dancing, dance. One day you feel like sitting silently, sit silently. Be spontaneous. You cannot dance forever. The body gets tired. Then sit, silent meditation. This is the natural. And finding what works for you, what is natural for you, that can only come from your natural being, from your heart. It cannot come from the mind. I want to do this system. It's like people are looking for gurus. They're looking from out of their own projection. Oh, this guru fixed in my pocket. He can never change you. But it's been serious, the spiritual business. Like you said, a very serious business. Strict. But there's been some misunderstanding. One day two old monks were in the walls of the monastery, the oldest one in Tibet, and they're going through the old scrolls. You see, here are the originals, said the first monk, from the beginning of time. All the new scrolls were copied from these scrolls. Ah, can I see one? Sure, this is the outlines of the rules of monkhood and spirituality and meditation. All of a sudden, the monk's face turns white and he falls to his knee, hammering his head. What? What does it say? It says celebrate. It says celebrate. They thought it was be celebrate. For 10,000 years, they missed so much fun. That's how it goes. If you want to be so spiritual. But luckily, now it's out. You should celebrate. No. Or at least celebrate your celibacy. Because it's not in what you do, it's if you celebrate or not. Celebrate your silence. Om Shanti.